What's up, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of the I Love Changing Lives show. And if you want to find out today how to separate yourself from being average or from the average of the other people within your market, all right, then this is the episode that you want to listen to. And I'm going to try and keep things short, sharp, and punchy today because I want you to get to work on implementing the stuff that I'm going to share with you. So let's dive in and find out how to make sure you separate yourself from average. And if you haven't listened to last week's episode, which was all about a process, all right, a nice little circle that I drew on the whiteboard for staying within your zone, for really doing what you need to do to keep you in a state of flow, to keep you focused on the critical 5% of things that are gonna drive you, your business, your results forward in the fastest time possible, and what you need to be doing on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis to keep you within that zone for as long as possible, all right? And if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that. Those of you who reached out to me from that episode, I wanna say thank you. It was the first time we broke the top 20 on Podomatic for self-development. We had over 100 downloads last week and we had over 57 plays, which, you know, is not a big list that I send this to. So I was pretty proud to see that come through. And I know a lot of you really resonated with the process I shared because it was super simple, all right? But it's something that a lot of us just don't go to work to practice. And I wanted to make sure that from that episode, we built upon it to make sure that, cool, now that I've got a framework, a process for staying within my zone, for getting in states of flow and highly focused on the critical 5% of things, how do I make sure that I never slip back into average, that I set the bar high for myself as I'm working through that process and staying focused within my critical 5%? So if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that because this really is a follow-on from that episode. But even if you haven't, I know today you're still gonna get lots of great value out of what I'm about to share. Now, the first point we're gonna talk about is when you are really looking at what you're currently doing in your life, in your business, with your health, with your fitness, whatever it might be for you, right? This show covers a vast range of things, but it's ultimately for people that wanna be in the transformational space in some way, shape, or form. Like, you either have an online program, you have a product or a service, and you have something that you genuinely want to help people with, all right? And part of the process of being able to help more people is making sure that you're helping yourself and making sure that you are setting standards for your own life and the things that you're trying to work on yourself, that you're going to be able to attract more of the types of people that you love working with and the types of people that are really going to resonate with the way that you do things and with your methodology, but also your approach to life, right? They're gonna be naturally attracted to you, which is it's an incredible skill when you work out what you need to do to constantly develop it. It's not some magic thing that everybody's been granted. What, like sometimes you hear things like, oh, he's so charming or he's so charismatic. Sure, people sometimes have the gift of the gab, but there's not always an authenticity or an integrity around that. And what I'm gonna share with you today is gonna give you both of those things and help you work on developing you, all right? One of the first things that I always look at when I'm looking at helping somebody in any way, shape, or form, right, is looking at ultimately who is it that you really need to be serving at the highest level. And that might be a strange question for some of you, but what I want you to think about is, who ultimately in my life do I need to be serving? Like, do I need to be giving as much of myself to? Because what tends to happen, right, is we tend to get this sense of significance by having lots of people take up our attention, our energy, and our time. And that can feel nice, it can stroke the ego, it can make you feel like you're important, but it is often the direct opposite of what you want to be focused on, where you want to be giving your time and your energy, right? And the reason why I say that is because if you're a parent, or maybe you're just somebody that's responsible for their family, but you're responsible for more than just you. That's ultimately who I'm speaking to here, right? Those of you that only have to focus on you, I mean, shit, it really doesn't get any easier than that. So you're not gonna get any sympathy from me if you're not doing that right now, right? If you're only responsible for yourself, you only have yourself to really work on, right? For those of you that are responsible for more than yourself, right? Say you have kids, say you have family, say you have team members, you have a business and people that you have to support, right? How are you currently serving those people at the highest level, right? And the same thought process applies to your clients or your students or people who are part of your programs or your memberships or whatever it might be. Like, how am I serving them at the highest level, right? And am I focused on serving those people, or am I allowing myself to be distracted by everybody that's giving me a sense of significance and recognition? All right, because ultimately, if you want to work on making sure that you are never average, right? All I need to do is make sure that everybody that is important in my life gets the greatest version of me, gets the most empowered time from me, right? They get my true presence. They get my ability to be there and support them and help them and add to their life in some way, right? Whether, like I said, for me, if I look at my world, it comes down to my kids, all right? It comes down to my wife. It comes down to the people that are in all of the different businesses that we run, clients, students, people in our programs, our coaching clients, our team members, and everyone who supports what it is that we do. Those are the people that, for me, I need to be serving at the highest level. And if I get distracted by the 15, 20, 30 random Facebook messages I get a day from going, hey, you're in the health space. Hey, I see you're an entrepreneur. Or are you an entrepreneur? No, just read my freaking profile, right? Like, just lazy people who are trying to tap into you, right? For their own benefit, or even just because they're being distracted, right? You have to get really, really good at filtering that out, right? And not even worrying about those other people. Like, whoever's in my world, that's who I need to serve. That's who I need to be the best version of me for. That's who I need to give the most amount of time if it's in line with what I want, all right? If it's not in line with what I want, or if it's not going to add to who I wanna be or where I wanna go, I need to remove it. Just get rid of it, right? Because it's not adding to the people that are most important to your life. Maybe you're giving somebody else a sense of significance and recognition by giving them attention. Great, that's not your job, right? That's their own job. They're just reaching out because they can't do it for themselves. And I know that might sound harsh, but trust me, as your businesses grow, as you start to be surrounded by more people, as you start to have a greater influence and impact, more and more people are gonna come in and they're gonna try and take that time, energy, and focus away from you. And you're not going to be able to serve the people that ultimately you wanna be able to serve at the highest level the way that you want to, because you're gonna be dealing with everybody else's shit. So that's why it's the first point I've got here when we're breaking down what I believe you really need to be focused on this year more than ever when it comes to making sure that, one, you separate yourself from average, but two, that you become a high performer and you're living life on your terms, all right? Second point is in line with the first one. It's becoming obsessed with the critical few, all right? It's something that, man, in the last 2 to 3 years for me, it's just, it keeps resonating. It's a message that just keeps getting reinforced and reinforced and reinforced, right? That there is so much stuff that we are being stimulated with on a daily basis. And you'll see a lot of these points in here are all connected to this, to the way things are right now. And you have to gain a sense of realization around exactly what the environment and the conditions are right now when it comes to the entrepreneurial space, when it comes to the online space, when it comes to being in the transformational space, right? Online marketing, all of those different things. You have to understand what the field looks like, what the conditions look like, right? What the road looks like in order to work out what it is that you really need to be focused on. And when I say becoming obsessed with the critical few, right? It's really getting good at dialing down and lasering in on that critical 5%. And I talked about that in major detail last week, right? So go back and listen to that if you haven't. But it's a refining process. It's not something that once I've done it, that's it, right? You have to get to the point of being obsessed with it, right? It's the same reason that, you know, if you follow anything that Michael Jordan did, right? Like he got to the point where he had these drills and he had these routines and he had these things that he literally became his obsession, right? He wouldn't go out drinking. He wouldn't go out and party. He wouldn't worry about those things because he knew he had to do and put in the time and be obsessed with these critical few things, these critical few routines, drills, and things that he needed to get really, really, really good at for him to be able to perform at the level he wanted to. And you have to be able to do that for yourself, especially as an entrepreneur when no one's gonna do it for you, right? You don't have a boss, you don't have somebody else coming along going, hey, these are the things that you need to be focused on to perform at your highest level. No, right? You've gotta refine that. You've gotta define it for yourself as well. You need to gain clarity and then you need to filter it out and constantly work on optimizing it. And I can't do that if I'm not obsessed with it. Obsessed with it, that it's part of the thought process every day. And again, if you look at the whole filtering, you know, of getting rid of everybody else's crap and dialing in on my stuff so that I can become more and more obsessed and gain more and more clarity and get really, really dialed in on everything I need to do to stay within my zone for as long as I can, right? For me, that is a vital part of making sure that you are never average because everybody else is willing to let everybody else dictate their day. They're allowing other people to affect their emotions, their mindset, their thought processes, their judgment, all of this shit, all of everybody else's stimulus, everybody else's crap, everybody else's ads, everybody else's content, right? Like we all consume this stuff and we allow ourselves to be distracted by it when it doesn't add to what it is that we're trying to get better at or do more of. And at some point, you got to work that out for yourself and you got to strip the rest of the shit away because you don't need it, right? If anything, it's going to take you further away from what you need to be focused on, all right? Last point sort of that's tied into the first two that we talked about here is being really, really good at shutting out distractions. Like right now for me, if I open my email, there would probably be 60, maybe 70 emails in there, right? Out of that, I probably need to get back to 5, all right? But just the process of going in and deleting that, and I've created multiple accounts, right? But as your lists grow, you tend to get added to more shit, right? So it's a constant refining process, and I've outsourced most of that now that I only get emailed the critical few because again, it was a time waster for me, it was a distraction. Even just going through it was a distraction, working out which ones were important and which ones weren't. And you gotta get really good in line with being obsessed with your critical few things. How do I shut out all distractions? Like how do I get to the point that when I'm in my office or I'm sitting down in front of my computer or I'm going to create a piece of content or I'm heading to the gym or I'm getting in and doing a live training for my clients, how do I shut out all distractions so that I'm serving the people I need to be serving at the highest level possible? Like right now, I couldn't give you my full attention if my phone was on loud, if I was allowing people to come in and out, if I was worried about what was going outside, if I had my Facebook open in the corner and it was going ping, 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 right? I couldn't give you my full attention. I couldn't be focused on where I need to be focused to serve you all at the highest level possible. And you've got to get really, really good at doing that. Like when I break these things down, it's not complicated, right? There's nothing here that's like, oh my God, that's such an incredible strategy. I've never heard of that before. Right? It's the opposite. It's the basic shit that people don't do. They go to town to make it more complicated, bigger than it needs to be, to almost justify why they couldn't do it. All right? So I want you to strip away, like I've said a few times now, all of that crap and work out what distractions you need to shut down. Work out what you need to turn off. Get rid of your newsfeed, right? If you don't have that plugin yet, do that now. It's like newsfeed be gone or something like that. Just type it in Google. It's a group Google Chrome extension, right? Just like get rid of that shit. You don't need it. Every time you get a little red notification on your phone, you don't need to check it. Turn that off. Turn all your notifications off, right? Stop allowing external and other people's crap to dictate where your time, energy, and focus goes, right? Otherwise, that's the number one way to guarantee that you stay average because you're dealing with everybody else's crap and you're not allowing yourself to become obsessed with what you need to be focused and hyper-lasered in on, okay? This one is huge, especially for the clients that we work with and the people that come into our program that I talk to on a daily basis is being able to start charging what your solution is worth. All right, like one of the easiest ways to be average is to look at what everybody else charges around you and charge the same, all right? Or charge less. And I've made that mistake before. I'll put my hand up for sure, right? They're charging that, so I'll charge a little bit less so that I'm cheaper and it'll be an easier decision for people. Okay, because you're allowing the only decision to be based around price, right? Or the amount of people that come into our program, right? And we teach entrepreneurs how to charge high prices for transformational programs, right? Transformational online programs. No one in our program charges less than $2,000 to $3,000 as a starting price. But when they come to us, they've been charging $40, $50, $100. They've been looking after 8, 10, 15, 20 clients and not even making $1,000 in profit a month. Like, I get it. I understand the thinking, the methodology, and I guess the journey that a lot of you have been on when you're at that point. But as soon as you can make the distinction and the separation between price, value, and transformation, all right, that's where you're going to make the biggest shift from average to high performer, being able to get clients who are highly committed, highly focused, and the types of clients you want to work with versus being frustrated, taking anybody you can, bouncing from week to week with your cash flow, charging different price points for everybody based on them not wanting to or yes wanting to, and chasing people up for money and not having those people being committed or getting the transformation and the results that you want, right? Because you've been playing in that game. And as soon as you separate and decide for yourself that, you know what, I'm not gonna play the price game anymore. I'm not gonna play the time for money game anymore, right? That I'm gonna start charging what my solution is worth. And I had a great example of this, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, right? I was on a call with a girl who was in Hawaii and she had been in Tony Robbins events and done all of these things, right? But yet she hadn't created an online program. And when we got to the point of talking about what she wanted to create and getting clear on it and breaking it down, she was so excited, right? And she put on her form that she had money to invest. Right? And it's just a question that we ask as part of our qualification, because at the end of the day, if you have nothing to invest or you're not willing to find it, it's really hard for me to be able to help you. It'll be the same with your clients. And as soon as she got to the point of, yes, I want to do this, yes, it then defaulted. And it was like, oh, what's included? What do you include, right? Because she's been in the space of thinking she needs a book and an ebook and a podcast and all of these different things that we think we need. Right, based on what we listen from other people, not based on what we think is best for us or what will serve our market at the highest level or what will provide the greatest solution, right? It was just what the market had told her. So I'm like, straight up, you want this result, right? This is what you want to create. Do you care what's included? If you and I sat here in 6 weeks' time and you were making sales and your program was created and you are looking after the types of clients you love to work with and you're charging a minimum, I think we said $4,500 to $5,000 for this program, your goal is to make $10,000 a month. So we make two sales before our 8 week program is even done. Do you care what's included? All right, and the answer was no. And it was great to see the mindset shift. And she's like, oh, I can see what you're doing now. I can see that you're coaching me on the process, right? And for me, it was a great moment to reflect back on, because so many of us will create these stories around the value that we think we have to offer. And when we don't have the level of self-confidence or self-worth, we suddenly don't think we have the value to offer. So we need to throw in this bonus and that bonus, and then we need to value stack. And if you get in now, I'll throw in another bonus and another bonus, and then suddenly you'll get these kitchen knives and this box of cereal. And we just keep adding shit. But if you look at the black and white, is that going to add to your solution? Is that going to help the person get better results? Is that going to allow you to filter out the types of clients you do or don't want to work with? Or are you just throwing shit at people because you hope that something will stick that they want to buy, right? That it'll seem so great because everybody else is doing that, I need to do it too, right? At what point do you work out where to separate yourself, right? And what I'm trying to empower you with here is the easiest way to separate yourself from that average marketing and business and mindset methodology is to start charging what your solution is worth. If you have the ability to help somebody go from A to B, to go out of pain and into pleasure, to go out of hell and into heaven, to go from where they are now, frustrated, overwhelmed, and in pain and not knowing how to get out of it, to them being at the point where they've got space and clarity and health and fitness and vitality and fulfillment or whatever it is, that's what's worth the money. And the price point is almost irrelevant because the price point ultimately just dictates the commitment. That's it, right? At the end of the day, if somebody is at that end result and they're feeling that and they're experiencing that and they're obtaining what it is that they wanted from you within your program or the solution you offer, that's all that matters. They're not even going to care what they paid, right? Like all of the clients that go into the second level of our program, half of them can't even remember what they paid for our initial program, right? After they've been in it 2, 3, 4, 6 months, they're like, I can't even remember because it's irrelevant. The fact is now that they are living the solution that they wanted to live. And that's where the value lies. And if you want to separate yourself from the average, start charging what your solution is worth. And if you're not sure, feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to show you exactly what your solution could be worth if you know how to position it and how to really attract the types of clients that need that solution the most. All right, so hopefully that's a key distinction that a lot of you can take on board. Stop looking outside. I've mentioned this before a couple of times, but when I think about stop looking outside, like again, for me, it's the Facebook news feed, it's YouTube ads, it's all the rest of these other people's shit. Like stop looking outside. Find one person who is doing what you're doing or what you wanna do, and they're doing it in a way that you feel you would wanna do it the same way, right? The same level of integrity or the same level of transparency or authenticity, whatever it is. Find that one person, go pay them whatever you need to pay them to model what they are doing and to learn from it. And that's it. And when you make that commitment, turn off everything else. Give that your full attention. And past that, start listening to yourself. Start getting feedback from the clients that are already in front of you, that are already inside your business, inside your world. Start looking at the problems that they have now, but also the problems that are going to be coming up once you solve certain things from them. And I explained this yesterday to a whole bunch of people in our live Q&A, is that the quality of your life is related to the quality of your problems. And as you start solving things for people, you're going to create new problems for them. And that's not a bad thing. That's a great thing, right? But if you then leave those people with that problem, then ultimately they then have to spend time, energy, and focus trying to find somebody or a way to solve that problem. Whereas if you spend more time focused inside your business, inside your own mind, inside your critical few, and less time outside, you would be able to identify those problems early. You would be able to foresee them. You would be able to close the gap and create strategies and systems and processes and methods to be able to make sure that as those problems come up, here's the solution. As the next problem comes up, here's the solution. And I'm always ahead of the game, and it's a great organic process because that's where I'm dialed in. Everybody else's shit doesn't matter. And the only time I ever look outside is if I think by me focusing on that is gonna allow me to add to this. And if I bring that into this, great. If I can't bring that into this in a way that it adds value to what I'm doing, or it speeds up the success rate, or it provides a better experience, more intimacy, better results, then it's not in my world. I don't even look at it. It's the same with my reading. It's the same with my listening to audiobooks and podcasts. Like all of that shit, I've cut out 90% of it now, and I'm only focused on, I only read 2 people's emails a week now, 2, right? And both of those people, that I've been on their list now for 2 years, and they're the only ones that I see focus on these things. And for me, it resonates with me. It connects with me after the journey that I've been through in so many different businesses, online and offline, that for me, I know that these guys are in line with where I want to go. And that's the only stimulus that I want coming in here, because it allows me to stay focused. It doesn't take me away. And you've got to be able to empower yourself with the same processes, Forget about everybody else's shit and start focusing on yours first. Get yours to the point where it's freaking awesome that the only time then that you want to look outside is to work out how to add to it even more, right? But you know that your stuff is dialed in and you personally are operating at the highest level possible, okay? Next one here is pretty basic. You would think it's pretty basic, but the amount of people that for some reason give up on this, and I don't get it. And I've been, if I'm completely transparent, I've probably done it myself a few times, and I can sort of identify maybe why I did, and I'll share that with you guys in a second, but it's having dog-like consistency. Like, you look at the people who are really, really successful. They haven't pressed some magic button. They haven't been able to go and create some new way that nobody ever thought about, right? Like, I'm talking about the majority of people that are really successful, right? The ones who have the time freedom, the space, they're building bigger businesses, they're helping people at an incredible level, and they're really impacting and changing lives. Like, for me, that's the definition of really successful, right? And they have the time and the freedom and the space to keep working on themselves with a level of authenticity and transparency. Like, for me, that's my definition. You look at all of those people and they don't do anything magical. They do the basic stuff non-stop, relentlessly, consistently, authentically. They don't change, they don't divert, they don't do any of those things because they're not grasping at straws. They're not trying to find the next shiny object, the next magic solution. They know who they need to be serving. They know what their critical few is that they need to be obsessed with. They understand that they are focused within and they're going to grow their business from the inside out the same way that they're going to grow themselves. And they don't listen to anybody else. And they start creating things that are in line with the people that they want to serve at the highest level. And they just do it. They just do the do and do the do and do the do consistently. And I see this with people who advertise on Facebook. Like, they've been so used to this magic tactic, and now it's bots, and then it's this, and then it's that. And man, I lived that world for ages, and it was a freaking nightmare. I felt like every week a new tool was coming out. Oh, I must need that tool because it's there, and it hit that shiny light, you know, light object. And then I had to learn it, and then I had to teach my VA how to use it, and then I had to do that. And I'm like, oh my God, I was literally spending hours a week on all of this shit. And how much did I actually end up using on a consistent basis? Like, maybe out of like 50 tools, maybe I used 3. Like, maybe. All right. And if any of you have been caught in that same world before, it's easy to go down that road. Where it's hard is to stay focused on the critical few and to have dog-like consistency. Like, I've got hold of that bone and I'm not letting it go regardless of how many different things are trying to pull it out of my mouth. I just do it and I just keep going and I keep going and I keep going and I keep going. And it doesn't even matter how long it takes. And that's the critical distinction here, is the consistency isn't relative to time. It's relative to doing the critical few things that will lead to the outcomes that you want, regardless of time, right? It's like working out. If I'm only going to be prepared to work out consistently for 12 weeks, and then the rest of the 9 months of the year, I'm just going to do whatever, what do you think my long-term results are going to be? But that first 12 weeks is going to hit the instant gratification button. So I think, yep, that's fantastic. Great. I'm going to be awesome. I'm going to be ripped in 12 weeks time. And then suddenly in a year, 18 months, 2 years, I'm fat again, or I'm unhealthy again, or I'm unfit again, or I've lost muscle again, or I'm eating shit again, and I'm tired, right? It's so easy to go for that instant quick fix. It's not easy to have the dog-like consistency regardless of time. And that's what I want you guys to understand. If you want to separate yourself from average, that's a skill set and a discipline that you need to embody every single day. Work out what those critical few things are and do them with dog-like consistency always. We sort of talked about this one already, so I'm not going to go into it too much, right? It's forget about everybody else's opinions. And if I'm completely honest, like, fuck what anybody else thinks. It's the best way to think about it. And those of you who don't like swearing, I sort of apologize, but I really don't, right? Sometimes we need to say that word. And it's so true in this space. Like, we allow other people's opinions to dictate what we do and don't do, to dictate and determine how we feel. about ourselves and about what we're trying to do, to stop us from going after what we want because we're worried about what other people might think. Or what if I fail, or I say the wrong thing, or they don't like my program, or they say no to me, or they leave? Like, good. Those things will all create lessons. All of those failures or all of those moments will give you teachings that will empower what you need to create later. But yet, if you stop and you give up, or you don't even try because you're worried about what other people are thinking or what they're saying or what they might do, that's the definition of failure. It's giving up. It's not doing it because you want to do it. It's doing it because you're worried or you're allowing other people to dictate what surrounds that. And at some point, especially as you get older and you start to get a little bit more confident with who you are, and if you aren't, regardless of age, confident with who you are, it's because you haven't spent time working on it. It's that simple, right? It's like anything. You want to feel more confident, work on your self-confidence. You want to feel better and have a higher level of self-worth, work on it, right? Like, nobody got great at self-development by not doing self-development. Nobody built a stronger mindset by thinking about it, right? Like, you can't outgrow a poor mindset is one of my favorite quotes from one of my old mentors. Like, I'm not suddenly gonna eventually start feeling better or create new belief systems or get rid of certain fears by not doing anything about it. Like, it's just not gonna happen. So at some point, you're gonna have to decide what you're willing to allow to dictate what happens in your life, or to dictate whether you do or don't do something. And my rule of thumb straight away is just that: forget about what anybody else's opinion is. Like, forget about what anybody else even says. All right, the amount of people that have stopped others from doing what they want to make themselves feel better for not doing what they wanted is crazy. And it's almost like this, in Australia, we call it tall poppy syndrome. Like, if I bring you down to my level, then that doesn't make me feel as bad. I don't notice the gap as much between what you're now doing compared to what I didn't do. So let's just pull you down and we can all stay here as victims in our pity party of, you know, regret and never living the life that we want to. But hey, we can do that together because we're normal people, right? Like, again, fuck being normal and screw what everybody else says. Like, go after what you want. Gain the clarity of who you want to serve on the highest level, what your critical few are, focus on the inside, get that dog-like consistency, and forget about everything else, because nothing else matters, all right? Optimize everything in your life. It's a word. Like, if you ask me what one of my 2019 words were, all right, optimize would be probably in the top three, all right? Energy and focus are probably the other two in those top three. But really start optimizing everything you're doing, from your training to the time that you're wasting, to when you're getting up, to your routine, to your sleep, to your ability to learn faster or to take in more knowledge that applies to what you want to be working on and where you want to be focused, to be able to deliver things at a better level, to create better experiences, better results, you know, optimizing your products, your programs, your services. Optimize your own income, the way that you structure money, optimize your relationships with your partner, with yourself, with your kids, with everybody else in your life, right? Like, if you're not focused on making things better, then what are you doing? Like, are you just settling for how things are because, hey, they're not too bad, they're okay? All right, great. Then what happens when they're not okay? You just go into reaction mode, or you then figure at that point, hey, I might as well do something. Right? Like, it just doesn't work that way. Like, if you want anything to be better, you've got to put time and energy and focus into it. You have to put deliberate action towards creating a positive outcome, or to creating a better outcome. And the coolest part about being committed to that journey and being committed to something like optimization is sometimes you have no concept of how good something can be. Like, if you would have asked me 7 years ago that I would be doing what I would be doing, that I would be enjoying it the level I get to enjoy it, that I would be able to homeschool my kids, that I would be able to travel the world, that I would be able to pretty much, if I wanted to, work 2 mornings a week. I don't, all right? I work every day, but I only work for 4 hours, okay? I train twice every day because my ADD needs that and I personally enjoy it. But If you would have told me that 7 years ago, I wouldn't have realized it. But back then, I still set the intention to work on myself, to optimize these things, to do whatever I could to create the best version of me and the best life I could create. And over time, these things morph and they develop and you start to gain clarity and you gain insights that you never would have gained if you didn't walk through that door, if you didn't take a step in that direction, if you didn't commit to that new path of self-discovery and optimization and personal growth. Like, I just sit here with ideas and it doesn't do jack shit. You might as well not have the idea in the first place. You might as well not have the thought in the first place if you're not willing to act and do anything based on that. Like, there's no different, right? It's like voluntary ignorance. Like, I know this stuff, I have these thoughts, I have these ideas, but I'm just gonna sit on them. All right, those of you that are listening to this on podcast, you don't get to see my facial expressions as much. So if you wanna head over to my blog, all of these video episodes are actually on there, or they're on my YouTube channel or Facebook as well. But let's dive into the last 2 points here. And this one for me is huge. Like, I talk about this all the time with my staff. And I actually did a video for one of our businesses last week about this. And for me, it's huge. And I think it applies to every area of your life. And I talk to my kids about this all the time, because as much as I would love it, my ex and I don't see eye to eye when it comes to this in particular, right? And it's to set standards that drive yourself and inspire others. And what I mean by that, it's setting a standard for every aspect of your life, like setting a standard for how you are willing to live, how you are willing to do things. Like, are you somebody that's willing to be late to everything that you go to? Are you somebody that's happy to sleep in till 10 o'clock on Sunday because it's Sunday? And are you somebody that's willing to not care about what they eat until you are 100 pounds overweight, and then you're gonna worry about it, right? Like, are you somebody that's happy for their kids to not learn manners, to not gain awareness of the world, to be overprotective and shelter them from things because you're too afraid of what could go wrong, right? And these are all standards, and they're not judgments from me, okay? Let's make sure that we get that distinction. They're all standards that people settle for or decide on, and they don't ever think that there's another way. And they never go about creating new standards, the type of standards that drive you to be the best you every single day. And through that process, they inspire the people around you. And the way that I explain it to my staff, right, is that if I meet people where they're at, that's great, we can relate. But if I stay on the same level as them, how am I ever going to inspire them to be better, right? Sure, I can try and motivate them to be better, but how do I inspire them to want to be better, to want to raise their own standards, right? And often that happens by surrounding yourself with people who have higher standards. And if you surround yourself with people who don't and their standards are less than yours, you have to understand that that's diluting yours. You are allowing other people to drag you down. And it's a realization that you might not want to accept, right? Like, if your standard is to not drink alcohol, but every time that you go to golf, everybody pulls out drinks and you start at 7, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, they're already drinking, right? But your standard for yourself is, you know what? I don't want to consume alcohol, especially not that time in the morning, because it's not in line with my standard, but everybody else is, so I'll have a drink. Ba-bong, standard is gone, okay? Maybe over time, if you were the one who decided, you know what? Like, what are you guys doing? What are we doing? Why don't we raise our standards a little bit? You're all fat, you're all overweight, you're all unhealthy. Why don't we raise our game here, either together or if not together, I'm gonna go hang out with people who have higher standards. I'm gonna go hang out with people who inspire me to be better. I'm gonna go hang out with people who don't settle for average. Because if they settle for average, then I'm settling for average. And again, that's a general distinction, but it's not far off from being completely true. And you have to look at that in every aspect of your life, between health and fitness and finances and relationships, right? Your sex life. Like, this drives me crazy, and I know I'm probably, maybe I have a hunger that's a little bit more than the average person, right? And I'm not gonna go into detail there, but I also look at that as like, Are you settling for your relationship or your intimacy to be at a certain standard? Or are you doing something about that from a romantic point of view, from a pro-action point of view, from a recognizing your partner and what they're doing, and are they working on themselves? And are you allowing them to be the best version that they can be? And are you driving them to raise their standards? Or are you allowing them to settle? Are you inspiring them to want to be better? Or are you reinforcing the average that they are? And I see this all the time, especially with women. Like, women want to support their partner wants to do that, and they're there, they're behind them. But when it comes to them, oh no, it's not important. It doesn't matter. I don't need to do that. I won't focus on me. I'll let the kids do it. I'll let husband do it. And there's no money left over for me. Like, man, for my wife, even when money is tight, or even when we've had tough times, I've still done whatever I can to make sure that she gets a manicure, she gets a pedicure, that I take her out to eat, that, you know, I bring home flowers when I can and surprise her, that I recognize how beautiful and special she is. Because if I don't do that stuff and she doesn't ever feel like that, what will her standard become? And sure, she's responsible for her own standards, but if I can add to that, and if I can raise that along with what she needs to do to raise that, then what sort of a relationship do you think you have as partners when both of you are working on raising your own standard? What do you think the standard of your relationship becomes like? Right? And I've lived the opposite, where one person had standard and the other didn't. And it completely blew up. And that was the biggest reason that it blew up. It wasn't because we weren't good together or there wasn't, you know, a connection. It was because literally one person decided they wanted more from life and the other one didn't. They were happy being average. And it's a big gap that I see in a lot of people's relationship. And I'm not going into the relationship space any more than that. But I want you to recognize that these standards apply to multiple aspects of your life. And what you also have to realize is that there's going to be a hierarchy of standards. And I talk about this in different capacities, but let's talk about it from health, right? If you have a high standard for finances, you got a high standard for work ethic, you got a high standard in your life for the way that you present yourself and the way that you serve your clients and what you're willing to settle for and not settle for, but you're unhealthy, you have no energy, you don't sleep properly, your blood pressure is high, your blood sugar is high, you crash in the afternoons, right? You're constantly uncomfortable with the weight that you're carrying around. That standard will outweigh all, if not many, if not all of the others, right? That hierarchy of standards will overtake the others and it will bring everything down overall. And you have to understand that. And I've seen this for 22 years where I've empowered people to take control of their health and fitness, and it's affected all the other aspects of their life. It did the opposite. It brought it up the same way that it'll bring it down if you're not focused on it, right? Because it holds more weight overall than a lot of other things. Your ability to perform at your highest level, to feel and look the best you can look and feel, right, has a direct correlation on all the other aspects of your life. And it often will outweigh whether or not you have high standards in other aspects of your life. And you've got to take responsibility for that, because nobody else is going to do it for you, right? And if you want to separate yourself from being average, how easy is it to just start with you, right? Like we've talked about the whole way through this. I don't need anybody else. I don't need to worry about what anybody else thinks. I just need to commit to me. And if I do that with a dog-like consistency every day until I start looking and feeling better and owning who it is that I now am and who I'm working towards becoming, it's not rocket science, but you gotta go after it deliberately. All right, last point here. And this is something that I have to explain to a lot of people, especially when they are tainted with other coaching programs, or they're being tainted by having bad experiences with products or programs or information that they consumed before, all right? And for some reason, it's tainted their ability to see things a certain way. And the last point I'm gonna be talking about here is about playing your own game. So many people think they need to play everybody else's game. You need to do things the way that everybody else is doing them. Even when you get a mentor, like I talked about earlier, you find that one person who runs a business that you want to run, that does things the way that you want to, with the sense of authenticity and transparency that you directly connect to. Even when you find that person and they start teaching you their methodology, at some point you have to take that methodology and you have to apply it to your own game. You have to create your own set of rules. You have to design your own playing field and who it is that you're willing to have play in that game. All right, it's a big analogy there, but I really want you to start thinking about that. Like, what is it? What game do you want to be playing in? Do I want to be dealing with clients nonstop who are not making payments, who I'm following up, because I'm stuck in the price game, and you know, I'm dealing with this, and I'm dealing with a partner who's out all the time, and we don't have a great relationship, and we're like living two separate lives, and you know, I'm dealing with a business partner and he does things his way and I do things my way, and we have conflict, and that's the game. That's the conditions of the playing field right now that I am playing on. And you got to understand that that's a choice. And if you are currently playing in an average game, all right, at what point are you going to walk off that field and go and decide where you want to play? What game, at what level do you want to participate in? All right, and those of you who don't know, I'm a big rugby man, so for me, having field analogies comes naturally. But I really want you to own this one because it's huge. You've got to be able to dictate your own conditions. You have to be able to create that vision for what it is that that game looks like. And what are all the different elements? What are the conditions? What are the rules? What are the roles within that game? And once you get clear on that, then you go back through this process that I've run you through today with that dog-like consistency and the clarity to work out, how do you bring that game to life? How do you make that game run and play at the highest level and the highest standard that is completely connected to your vision and no one else's? That is designed to serve those people that are in that game at the highest level possible. And that allows you to become an expert at playing, right? Really own that. Like, you've got to become an expert at your own game. If I can't teach people to do what I want to teach them to be able to do, if I can't get the level of results that I want them to get, and I don't have clarity about where I've gone wrong or what's broken down in that game, then I've lost sight of my vision, or I haven't built the key things to make sure that the game plays and runs the way that I want it to. There's a breakdown somewhere, and that's cool. Once you identify where that breakdown is, you can do something about it, but don't look outside. Don't look at anybody else's game. Look at your game, what you want, what you see for it, where's the gap, and what do I need to do to close that gap? Where do I need to be focused? What is my critical few that's gonna move me forward? And what do I need to be focused on inside on a consistent basis? I hope each one of these points have resonated with you in some way, shape, or form. And if you're not sure how to go about this, right? You're sitting there with an idea, with a passion, with a desire to help people, and you really want to start creating your own game. You want to start designing what it is that you want. You want to work at who it is that you should be serving at the highest level and what your critical few things are that you need to be focused on to create what it is you want to create. Then let us help, all right? Like, literally every single week, I open up times myself personally. I have coaches as well that open up times every week to literally dive in to your current business or to your idea or to your program or product that you have, and we work out where things are right now and where the gaps are in your current model or what we need to put in place to close those gaps to help you create what you want, right? And I get emails from people that can't even take up our program just thanking us for the value that we share with them on that call, for what we provided them with, for the insight, for the, if it's with me, sometimes the harsh truth that I will present to them, because that's my job, right? That's where my standard is to not sugarcoat anything. Like, I'm going to tell you how it is because I know how important this is for you to create what you want and to not have it any other way than that. So if you want help with that, all right, below this video or podcast or whatever it is, there'll be a link to book a call. All right, go ahead, book a call. We'll spend 45 minutes to 60 minutes either with myself or somebody on my team, and we will dive into your model right now. We will go through each of these different aspects and we'll work out exactly what you need to do to create what you want, and we will share that game plan with you on that call. Whether you decide that maybe we are the people to help you do that or not, it's irrelevant to us, right? Often, a lot of people won't even come into our program because we don't feel they're the right fit, because they're not either ready or they haven't spent enough time getting clear, right? But we will help you on that call gain the clarity that you might be missing, or at least point you in the right direction and help you create a game plan for building what it is that you want, right? And being able to create the life that you want around it too. Otherwise, what's the point? Right? Now, I said this would be a short episode, and for me, obviously, it went a little bit longer than that, but I really hope you've gained value from it. If you go ahead and book a call, there'll be a link, like I said, below this, but otherwise, I look forward to connecting with you guys next week. And if you've gained something specific, like if something really resonated with you from this video, comment below, send me an email, adam@adammckenzie.net, right? I personally respond to every single person who emails me, and share your story with me. I would love to hear from you and what you gained from today's episode.